Well, this is Joe Clement for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm joined today by the Communications Director of UFCW 555. That's United Food and Commercial Workers, the Grocery Workers Union. They represent Fred Meyer's, Albertsons, and a bunch of other grocery stores you probably go to. We are here today to talk about a labor struggle you've probably heard about because it's going on right here in our town. Fred Meyer's workers are demanding a lot of things. They're bargaining with Kroger, the parent company that owns Fred Meyer's. And Kelly here is going to recap some of the broad aspects of that recent history, but I wanted to talk especially about a very important campaign they have to address the gender wage gap. Kelly, could you just tell us a bit about where Fred Meyer's Kroger store workers were before the contract and what they were going for in the contract and where they are now?
So when we started bargaining, it was about 15 months ago, we bargained with the Unity Bargaining Team, which means that we are able to bargain on behalf of 20,000 of our workers at once. So that includes everybody who is a union member at Albertsons, Safeway, Fred Meyer, QFC, and a variety of what are called Me Too stores around the state. So that includes Sherm's and Roth's and so on. So this is a lot of people in a lot of different contracts, 90-some contracts that we're looking at all at once. And we ran into, as you said, sort of a stall when the employers were unwilling or unable to make headway on the wage question. Our workers have been chronically underpaid for a while. It's one of those things that we're seeing everywhere in the country with income inequality in general, but particularly as you see cost of living go up and wages not go up comparably, then you run into a situation where it's really hard to keep your head above water. So we were negotiating for two things on the wage front. One of them is an increase in wages for everybody, because even our highest paid workers aren't sufficiently compensated for what they do, but also to look at starting the process to reach gender equity in these stores. A lot of grocery stores have a two-tiered wage schedule, and that has been causing some problems that we were able to document this time around.
From what I read, there's a two-wage tier in the contract for Fred Meyer's workers, one that is generally higher paid, one that's generally lower paid, and that in the lower paid one, women are overrepresented among all the people in those classifications. In the higher paid one, men are overrepresented in all those classifications. What is the union's response to that disparity? What is closing the gender gap really look like?
So we have expected to see this for a while. We think this is something we've suspected, but we didn't ever have the data to back it up until this time around. During the bargaining process, we received information that allowed us to demonstrate that in these two different schedules, as you said, men are overrepresented in the higher paying one and women in the lower paying tier. So the higher paying one is called Schedule A and the lower paying one is called Schedule B. And Schedule A is things like grocery, produce. Some of our checkers are in Schedule A. Schedule B has things such as bakery and the deli. And of course, the irony of these lower paid jobs is that the deli is widely agreed upon to be the most difficult job in the store. It's also one of the most dangerous because they're dealing with, you know, those slicing machines. And so that's an incredibly difficult job that has been put into this lower paying schedule. So we see a mirror image when we looked at the numbers. Two-thirds of men are put into Schedule A, two-thirds of women are put into Schedule B. And the average hourly difference between those two schedules is $3.53, which is extraordinary when you're looking at the difference between, you know, somebody making $17.22 an hour and somebody making $13.69 an hour. That's the difference between being able to survive and not. And then we extrapolated that further and we looked for that average hourly difference over the course of a career, that could add up to a loss of $250,000. And we've noticed that the way that this mechanism for discrimination exists, the managers, the employers get to choose where to put people. So you apply to a job and you're given a job. And at the apprentice level, at the very beginning, most of those jobs pay the same. So it doesn't look like it's a problem. It's after you've gone through those apprentice scales and you've put in those 8,800 hours of work to receive the journeyman status, that's when all of a sudden Schedule A sees a huge bump and Schedule B does not. We then took this information and passed along the raw data to a third-party company called Olympic Analytics. And the reason we did that is that we wanted to see whether or not our conclusions were statistically rigorous, you know, whether someone who was looking at it simply from a statistical point of view would see the same things that we were. And sure enough, they saw all of the same things and more. They saw that women are twice as likely to be put into a lead role, but to get paid less for it. Women are more likely than men to work full-time and yet make less for it. It's astounding. It's one of those things where every rock you uncover has got a new gender inequity problem under it. And we think this is probably true for all of the stores that have a two-tiered wage increase. We just happened to get the data from Fred Meyer and be able to demonstrate it there. And that's why we're talking about it at Fred Meyer. Because as you know, a union never does anything without documentation. So we're never going to act on suspicion. We're only going to act on the documented evidence.
What has the union said to Fred Meyer in terms of fix the wage gap, do this?
Right. So in our proposals, we put forth noticeable extensive wage increases across the board, but much higher wage increase in Schedule B. So we were going to see Schedule A get a thorough bump, but Schedule B get, you know, like a bump and a half or so, right? So that we could close the gap over time. Our ultimate goal at this point is to see that two-tiered structure go away, because I doubt that anybody's out there asking themselves, how can I discriminate against women today? I think what's happening is we're seeing a perceived history of gender roles and women's work versus men's work. And then we're also seeing that the two-tiered structure exists. Those two things together provide an opportunity for inequity. And if we remove the mechanism, then we can remove the inequity, not just for gender, but any other inequity you're looking at. If you're looking at racial discrimination, age discrimination, ableist discrimination, we think that removing that mechanism is going to go a long way towards solving all those problems simultaneously.
Yeah, and I think that has a strong message for the rest of the labor movement as far as what economic justice needs to look like, because the labor movement has a history of making compromises with employers to you know, try and do the best that seems possible in that situation, but they end up kind of creating the track work for just going further down the wrong route. And what you are talking about is backing that train up so that we can get going together.
Exactly. And we also looked, Olympic Analytics looked up a lot of historical contracts, and the stuff that they found was both stunning and not. I mean, it's exactly what you would expect, but it's horrifying.
Well, that's all the time we have for the on-air portion of my conversation with Kelly McAllister. We'd like to take a break soon to talk to you about becoming a member of KBOO, who brings you these important conversations about what our community is doing to make its world better. When you find today's show in the next few days, you'll find several more minutes of conversation between Kelly and I, where we go into the history of the way that gender was inscribed into the job descriptions at Fred Meyer's and how the union is proposing to end the legacy of that gender division. Thank you, Kelly McAllister, Communications Director of UFCW 555, for coming on the Old Mole today to talk about the important fight that Fred Meyer's workers are taking to Kroger.
Yes, thank you very much. We appreciate your support. Back in the day, grocery stores had a grocery department, and then they had what they called a vegetable department, which was the, what we now know as produce. And then they added in a delicatessen. And in these early contracts from the 30s, when the delicatessen was added, you see that those positions are actually described by gender. So everyone who works in the delicatessen, their job is the delicatessen girl. And if you get promoted to a lead role within the delicatessen, the contract stipulates that your title is head girl. Also, no one is allowed in those early contracts to move from one department to the other. So women are tracked into the delicatessen, and then that's it. Then you're stuck there. And so it's really scary to see that we've still got two-thirds of the folks in those comparable jobs being women and being underpaid for their work. You also saw it was just sort of a never-ending list that Olympic Analytics found in these old contracts. In some cases, there were salesmen who were paid a certain amount and saleswomen who were paid a certain amount. And literally the only distinction between those two was the gender. So I think a lot of this is what I've been looking at as a legacy problem, at least in grocery. And now that we've demonstrated it, we just have to solve that problem. So when we're talking to the employers, that's what we're looking for. We're looking to move towards removing Schedule B completely. And we can kind of assume that they agreed with us because in their proposals, they did offer Schedule B more than they offered Schedule A in raises. But the amount that they offered more, they offered a dime an hour more per year. So at that rate, if you've got a 353 discrepancy hourly, it's going to take you 35 years to reach pay equity. And that's simply unacceptable.
I was going to ask what Fred Meyer's response was, and
It's worse than you would even imagine.
Yeah, what I had read is that initially they were going to offer an amount that would, by the 2022 end of the contract, would be under the minimum wage, and that when they were caught on that, then they said, well, we'll give them a dime more.
And interestingly, that was a different problem, but within the same negotiation and the same proposal. But it was a different problem. It wasn't a Schedule B problem. But apparently a dime is the solution that they like to come up with, because you're right, that is the solution that they offered there. And what we saw in terms of that situation was really just what it looks like to us, at least, is that Fred Meyer wants to offer so little that when they did the math wrong, they offered little enough that you would have come up under minimum wage. So, you know, if you're not even trying hard enough that you're taking into account the raising of the minimum wage between now and 2022, that tells me that what you're trying to do is pay as little as possible, as little as you can get away with, right? And similarly, in those differences between Schedule A and Schedule B, it's that dime difference. And it's amazing to me that anyone can look at the cost of living today and say, sure, a dime an hour, you know, 80 more cents a day if you're lucky enough to get full time before taxes. Yeah, sure, that's going to solve the problem. And it just isn't. We need them to start allocating their resources differently because they're paying their stockholders a lot. They just got a 14% dividend increase a couple months ago. Their CEOs, of course, make millions and millions and millions of dollars and then get bonuses of millions on top of that.
Yeah, it was just reported that the Kroger CEO got a mm-hmm. raise of, what, 19 million, or it was capped out to 19 million?
Oh, I haven't seen this most recent one, so I'm going to trust you on that. But it's an absurd number. And what we feel is that it's time for us to be doing two things, recognizing loyal employees, because so many folks in the grocery industry, this is a career. This is something that you work at for your entire life. And if you've given your life to the company and the company's not interested in compensating you in any fair way at all, that's a mismatch of values. And the other thing that I think we need to look at is the value that we give to work in general. There are so many jobs that are at or just slightly above minimum wage in our world. And I think that society is not recognizing that these are the jobs that hold us together, that the fabric of society would not exist if we did not have people doing these critical jobs. And so it's time that we start paying people as if we expect them to be able to survive on what they make, because they're doing incredibly hard work.
Thank you, Kelly McAllister, Communications Director of UFCW 555, for coming on the Old Mole today to talk about the important fight that Fred Meyer's workers are taking to Kroger.
Yes, thank you very much. We appreciate your support.